This is something that is for all of us. This is what life in the Spirit is like, that the Holy Spirit is meant to animate us to do things that we could not otherwise do, and to live in an abundantly joyful way that we would never have arrived at otherwise. Did you know that it's a law that you have to turn your headlights on when it's raining in Sweden? Like, how am I supposed to know when it's raining in Sweden? Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 214. So great to have you with us. If you're a first-time listener, we start every episode with a dad joke. Hope you enjoyed that. And I would enjoy it if you would rate and review this podcast. It helps other people find it. And so if you enjoy this podcast, other people might. The highest compliment you can pay me in this podcast is to share it with your family and friends by word of mouth. Or on social media, if you choose. You can find all of our social media handles, info, and all of our content on our website, mannaFFT.com. That's mannaFFT.com. And while you're there, click on subscribe to sign up for our free weekly Psalm Reflection newsletter that comes out every Wednesday. It's the only email we send once a week, so you can get even more prepared for the upcoming Sunday readings. And if you feel so inclined while you're on the website, also click on the Give button and you can be taken to our Patreon page where you can pledge to give up to or as little as $1 a month to help support the costs of this podcast. And you become a patron and patrons get perks and my gratitude and prayers. And so thank you for all that you do to keep this podcast on the air and to let me know that you are enjoying it and seeing it bear fruit in your lives. It's such a joy to hear. So always love to hear your feedback. So if you're a first-time listener, long-time listener, would love to hear it. Let's get into our joy junk and Jesus. My joy, I'm recording this a little bit ahead of time, but Pentecost. Pentecost is coming. I love the Feast of Pentecost, and it's one of my favorite feasts in the church, the birthday of the church, just feeling enlivened and totally enriched by the power of the Holy Spirit, especially that gets poured out during the Sacrament of Confirmation, which we always have been lucky enough to celebrate with our teens and adults on that day these past couple of years. We've just been able to schedule it so the bishop can come on Pentecost Sunday for us, so very excited for that. And also, once Pentecost comes, a few of the programs and preparation things that I'm doing for people finish. And so I get some time to really focus on the upcoming year and plan for, you know, the summer things that are going on and really start to recruit and do things like that and take a little bit of a break from the heavy ministry schedule that it has been of late. So I'm very much looking forward to that. We also celebrated my wife's birthday and Mother's Day. And so it was just a lot of beautiful celebrations happening in our home. The junk in my life, my computer that I'm recording this onto, the fan keeps just like, you know, it's starting up right now. So if you hear it in the background, you know. So if anyone knows like how to cut down on your computer's, like, I don't know, stress, like how it's like processing too much or something, like I've gone into all the little things I know how to do. Close programs, restart, like trying to shut things down, get rid of stuff. But it might just be an older computer. I don't think it's that old, but if you know any tricks, that'd be great, because it almost didn't turn on for me the other day because it was totally dead because the fan had been going and something was keeping it, you know, draining battery, you know, while it was shut. So I freaked out because my whole life is on my computer. So, all the administrative things that lead to my life and my job, the real substantial things in my life, like the Lord and my family, obviously are not on my computer. And my Jesus moment, last week at Bible study, we had like one of the biggest crowds we've had in a long time. We had 55, 60 people, and there's still room. So if you are ever in the Laguna Niguel, South Orange County area in California, and you're looking for a Bible study on Monday nights, every Monday at 7:30, we'd love to have you. We got room. Bring your friends, invite people. There are even non-Catholics that come. Any level of experience or none at all is welcome, and you'll get something out of it, I promise. So, yeah, it's just been really great to see the Lord move and work in that way and see people meet and form community. We've even had couples meet through Bible study, and now we have like lots of like engagements and upcoming weddings, which is just really incredible. So it's amazing how things can bear fruit in ways you don't expect. So praise the Lord. Let's get into our podcast. We're looking at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. We're looking at the readings for Mass during the day because there are three or four different sets of readings, depending on if you're doing a vigil at midnight, you know, whatever it might be. So we're looking at the second reading for Mass during the day, which is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3b through 7 and 12 through 13. This is the part of 1 Corinthians where Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and how to organize a church community in Corinth, which was a very divided, very sin-ridden kind of area. And the church that started to seep in, they struggled with idolatry. They struggled with how do we reconcile that we are both Jew and Gentile, who has a role in the church. And there were, you know, all of these different divisive squabbles were happening. And Paul is writing this letter to address them. And he has a large section, chapters 12, 13, and 14, on spiritual gifts and how everyone really has a role to play in the church. And so this is what he writes toward the beginning of that section in our second reading this week. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love this passage, and I love that it points to just the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit. That fact that, like, no one can even say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you believe, the Holy Spirit's at work in you. You know, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit really is the one that first inspires us to pray, that God is always the initiator. So the Holy Spirit is always working around us and in us in some way, even before we receive those very powerful or full sharings of the Holy Spirit in moments like baptism or confirmation, or the power of the Holy Spirit coming down in something like a baptism of the Spirit, when you really just are feel that you are open enough to receive kind of charismatic gifts from the Holy Spirit. So there are many different ways that the Holy Spirit manifests and works in our life. And I feel like for a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of Catholics feel like their faith is stale, or that they're disconnected from God, or they're in some kind of desolation, or they feel like they're scrupulous about what they should or should not be doing, because I think that they're not seeing and experiencing the fruit of what they should be doing, what they've been called to do by God, which is to use your particular gifts, or what we'll call charisms of the Holy Spirit. This is something that is for all of us. This is what life in the Spirit is like, that the Holy Spirit is meant to animate us to do things that we could not otherwise do, and to live in an abundantly joyful way that we would never have arrived at otherwise. That's not possible on our own, just relying on earthly forms or sources of happiness. That, yes, when I have money or my career is going well or my family's healthy, I'm happy. But that's not lasting joy that endures even through stuff like suffering or loss or grief. So the Holy Spirit can make that possible in us. And what the Holy Spirit's desiring to do in the world and in your life and in mine is to recreate this world and make it more like the Garden of Eden. And so that's why the Spirit is often mentioned and invoked in things like driving out sickness, bringing healing, driving out confusion or doubt or fear or anxiety or the presence of the enemy, because all of those things were not present in the beginning. They weren't corrupting the garden in the beginning. And only once sin entered did those things have a foothold in our lives and in this world. And so the Holy Spirit really wants to, you know, you'll hear this in the psalm being proclaimed this Sunday. Lord, send out your Spirit to renew the face of the earth. That's really what the Lord's mission is. And to do that, he gives us a diversity of gifts that are equally valued. They're equal in value, and they're needed for the body of Christ as a whole. And you have some of these gifts. Your gifts are needed in the body of Christ. And so I want to make a distinction here, that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody receives these when they're baptized. And those are the seven gifts you read about in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. You can read them in the Catechism, paragraph 1831. They're the gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel or right judgment, fortitude or courage, knowledge, piety or reverence, and fear of the Lord or wonder and awe. Those seven things we all are given the capacity for by virtue of the sacramental grace when we are baptized. And those begin to cultivate and grow in us. And yes, we need to tend to them like a spark in order for it to become a fire, but they are still there. Those embers are always burning within us by virtue of receiving that sacrament. And when we can stir that spark into flame, we'll start to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Just like a spark does not warm anyone, but once you tend it and it becomes a fire, that fire now has new capabilities. It can warm you, it can cook things, it can purify them, it can heal wounds, etc. When we use the gifts of the Spirit that we've been given in the sacraments, we can bear the fruits of the Spirit out in the world. And again, these are things anybody can do. We all equally have a share in the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, we see some of them in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, and in the Catechism, paragraph 1832. And there are 12. There are love or charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. All incredible virtues and values that we strive for. Like, who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want more joy? Who doesn't find that their life would be better if they were more patient? Who doesn't strive for kindness and good things? You know, who doesn't want those things in their life? And everybody wants love above all. And so these things are the fruit of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit, especially when we receive the sacrament of confirmation, the Catechism says we receive a special sharing of the Holy Spirit to spread and defend the faith in word and action, to confess the name of Christ boldly, and to never be ashamed of the cross. That is what the Catechism says that happens at confirmation. And what is awakened within us, even more prominently, are what are called the charisms of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many charisms of the Holy Spirit listed in Scripture that we see in church history and tradition, and many of which that we can discern, and we have some combination of them. You have some combination of these charisms of the Holy Spirit. Charism comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. So if you think of words like charismatic, that's where it comes from. These gifts that bring the graces of God to us and allow his grace to flow out into the world in supernatural ways that other people find attractive or appealing. And so they're not meant for our own attention. They're not attractive because people are being drawn to us. They're attractive because God is manifesting in some supernatural way through us. So I'm going to read to you the charisms, and some of them may sound familiar, some of them might not. And they are administration, organizing things and being able to bring people together, celibacy, craftsmanship, making things, encouragement, evangelism, sharing the good news, faith. And this is not just believing, but this is like having like radical sense of faith, trust, and surrender in moments of great difficulty. Giving, healing, actually praying for people's healing and having success in that area, seeing that healing happens by the power of God. Helps, these are people who like to be behind the scenes, helping with things or helping empower other people to use their gifts. Hospitality, intercessory prayer, praying for other people. Knowledge, leadership, mercy, missionary, having that kind of missionary spirit to go out and serve those people in other places. Music, pastoring, this is kind of like theological leadership. Service, teaching, wisdom, writing, voluntary poverty, like kind of like minimalism, not needing a lot, being okay with very little. Discernment of spirits, being able to judge kind of the authenticity of someone's gifts, or being able to be attuned to the presence of good or evil in an area or with a person. Prophecy, being given words of knowledge for people that we wouldn't otherwise have. Interpretation of tongues and public tongues. So speaking in tongues is a charismatic gift of the Holy Spirit. It is meant to edify the person and the community, but there is usually someone who is given the gift also of interpretation to be able to determine what is it that this person is saying, and they're not just speaking gibberish for their own benefit. So those are the charisms of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes extraordinary ones manifest. We see these kind of take different forms within some of the stories of the saints. You know, they're particularly known for things like healing and miracles and signs or speaking in tongues, but also things like bilocation. Like Padre Pio was known to have appeared on multiple occasions in two places at once, with eyewitness testimony that he was indeed in both places. Mystical visions of the Lord, having the ability to have prolonged fasting, not for diet, but for prayer and to offer up for the church and for others. Some saints even levitated, displaying the wounds of Christ, the stigmata. So St. Francis of Assisi, I believe St. Catherine of Siena and Padre Pio all displayed the stigmata. Having the gift of prophecy, I said, is more of an extraordinary one, those words of knowledge. Having a gift of reading souls, sometimes this comes with discernment of spirits, sometimes it doesn't. But being able to kind of read a person's spiritual state and reflect that back to them without them saying anything. And then things like in death, like incorruptibility, where certain saints' bodies, by some miracle, are not corrupt or decaying at the normal time. Those are kind of extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Some of them are not necessarily gifts. They're just, I think, things that happen to people who are really attuned to the Holy Spirit. But that list of the other ones that I read, 20-some of the charisms, you and I all have some combination of those. And they may manifest in extraordinary ways or not. All of them, in some sense, are evangelizing, and all of them, in some sense, are healing because they bring about a recreation or renewal because supernatural manifestations of God are happening in and through us, and that always brings healing. And because of that, we're witnessing to the power of Christ. It's always evangelizing. When we use our charisms, we're in some way reflecting the good news and the presence of God in the world. And so if you want to read more about the charisms of the Holy Spirit in the Catechism and see what the Church says about them, paragraph 799 to 801, short section there on the charisms. But I really wanted to offer these as a reminder to you that this Pentecost Sunday and this season of Easter and just going into ordinary time, like ordinary time is not meant to be ordinary. We kick off ordinary time by celebrating Pentecost to be reminded that extraordinary gifts and manifestations of God happen all the time in the ordinary seasons of our life. That God is doing extraordinary things in you and through you in the ordinary seasons of life. And he's desiring to do that even more. And so if you're not experiencing this, I would encourage you to really pray about and discern your charisms of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? First, you look at what are some of your natural abilities? What are things you are naturally gifted at? What are things you're very passionate about that you really enjoy doing? And then you can even take an assessment. I'll include in the show notes to this podcast episode some links to some assessments that I've used in the past that are really good to help give you a first glance at some possibilities of what might be your top charisms. Now, you don't want to take one of these assessments or both of them and then have the top five or six come out and be like, all right, these are my charisms and this is how I'm going to use them out in the world. Done. And that's it. No, you need to then discern, are these really indeed charisms of the Holy Spirit for me, or are they just natural gifts? And that discernment process involves you maybe testing some out, talking them over with a spiritual director or like a charism interviewer. I am one of those people. I'm certified to do that. And so, and there are a lot of people who are, to be able to kind of take the results of an assessment like that and be able to reflect back to you or ask thoughtful questions to determine where in your life have you used this? How has it manifested in certain ways? Can we determine this as a gift or a charism? So the difference is, if it's a charism of the Holy Spirit, you will have the three Fs. You will have feeling, fruit, and feedback. The feeling is that it is something that will never burn you out. You never get tired of doing it. You are invigorated and energized when you do this. So an example that I use, I have a gift for writing. I'm a very good writer. I have a good vocabulary. I understand kind of the rules of writing, and I do it often because I have that gift, but I don't necessarily enjoy doing it. It's always when I have to write something, it always ends up the last thing on my to-do list that gets checked off that day. Like, I'm not that excited to do it, but I do it because I've chosen to and I know that I want to, but it's not a charism for me. A charism is something that you have a supernatural kind of feeling about that, like, wow, like this really just brings me immense joy and it kind of lights a fire under you. Okay. That's the feeling. The fruit is that it's bearing supernatural fruit. Like, people are being affected. Things are coming together. you know, you're displaying abilities or, you know, the energy level of someone that, you know, would not be able to do this otherwise if the Holy Spirit was not working in them. And you know that there's fruit because of the third F, which is feedback. People reflect back to you like, wow, you really have a gift for that. Or that was really inspiring to me, or I was really touched by the way you did X or Y. I really see this in you and I want to call it out. People will reflect that to you because there's something like undeniable when we have a charism and we're using it well. People, it's undeniable to them. They have to oftentimes say something about it or ask us like, what is that you have? How'd you learn how to do this? Because you have an incredible gift for this, even if they're not the type of people to normally affirm someone in that way. And so that's how we can begin to discern. We have to remember, like 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 21 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but test everything and retain what is good. So maybe you're listening to this and you're like, Matt, this sounds like kind of kooky charismatic stuff. I don't know if that's for me. That seems like kind of out there Catholicism. No, this is part and parcel of a life in the Holy Spirit. Every Catholic has charisms of the Holy Spirit that they are called to use. It's in the catechism. It's evidence in the history of the church. You receive the same Holy Spirit that the apostles received at Pentecost. If it did those amazing, miraculous things for them, it can do it for you too. And yes, I know they were in a position of authority as the early priests and bishops, but they gave that Holy Spirit to others and it manifested in powerful ways. And those people were not always priests or bishops or deacons. They were lay people. And so these gifts are available to us. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. We cannot quench it. We cannot despise it. But we should still test it and then retain what is good. And so we can begin to use some of these things, test out the waters. Maybe a charism comes up on your assessment that you're like, wow, that was not even on my radar. And you reflect on it with someone who's like a spiritual director or a charism interviewer. And they can, you know, you can isolate one that you're gonna try out for a few weeks or a few months and then come back to them and kind of assess, was there feeling, was there fruit, was there feedback? Is this a charism or is this just something that was a fluke of the assessment or that aligns with some natural ability? Or maybe it aligns with a learned ability from your professional career. You became really good at something like administration because you have those types of roles in the world that you're in as part of your job. And so you've learned a skill, but it's not a charism of the Holy Spirit. And that's okay. You do have charisms. We have to kind of sift through all the things that rise to the surface initially to determine what's authentically a charism and what can be explained by something else, a natural ability, something that your family did growing up that you have a learned skill in or a learned ability from work or career or some kind of program or your history in some way. Those are things that may not necessarily be charisms. And so it's important to discern these things. It's important also to remember charisms are often always used for others and for the benefit of others. You know, our natural gifts, we can use them for ourselves, and they might bear some temporary fruit, but no matter how we are using the charisms, it will always bless other people. Even if we think we're just using it for ourselves, it always finds a way to overflow out and bear supernatural fruit out in the world. And so the more and more we can pay attention to those things, the more enlivened we will be by the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, the more excited and connected we will feel in our faith, the more we will feel and experience the supernatural power of God at work. The things that happen on the pages of Scripture and in the New Testament, we will see happening in the world around us, in all of these gifts. And though it may seem some are more glamorous than others, all are valued, all are necessary, all bear supernatural fruit, and you have some of them, brothers and sisters. You're sitting on a gold mine. Do you know what you have, and are you willing to discern how you can use it? Because God is calling you and commissioning you to go out and use these gifts. And to use them where exactly you are called already, your family, your friendships, your workplace, you know, the people that you know in your neighborhood. You're not going to do this assessment and suddenly you're going to have to quit your job and move across the country. No, it awakens within you the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit that was manifesting in ways but that have been dormant or quieter until we are willing to be open and participate and co-create with God by using them. And so I hope you're excited. I hope this lights a fire under you. And even if you know your charisms and you took the assessment a while ago, take it again. New things begin to manifest when we start to live this life in the Spirit, because the Spirit is a giver of good gifts and He never stops giving. He continually pours out into us and new things will awaken. And if there are gifts you desire, ask for them. The Holy Spirit wants to pour them out into your life, and He wants them to become things that are vibrant and bring revitalization to your spiritual life and bring abundance and joy and peace to you and to others. Don't you want that, brothers and sisters? That is a life I radically enjoy living, and I feel like it only is getting stronger and even more abundant the more I lean into it. Doesn't mean I still don't struggle with sin or doubt sometimes. Yes, of course, we always will. But the more I operate in my charisms, the more evidence I see of God's handiwork, and the far less reason I have to doubt. Because I can just look back to the last time I used one of those and see how God showed up and be completely blown away by His love and His presence to know there's no way that God's not real. And that can compel me to not fall as easily into sin, to pursue heaven more wholeheartedly, to pursue His will more wholeheartedly, because I'm experiencing the joy of it day in and day out. I want that, and I pray, brothers and sisters, that you want that. And guess what? It's available to you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to be some special qualified minister or priest or sister or nun or religious or brother, whatever it is. You don't have to be any kind of special role within the church. You already have a special role in the body of Christ, and you are needed. Just like every cell has a role in the body, you are needed in the body of Christ. You are not meant to show up at church as a spectator, just taking it in and being entertained and receiving. You have gifts that are meant to be given, and other people will be able to receive the good news, the mercy, the forgiveness, the peace, joy, love, and hope of Jesus Christ because of you and your gifts when you use them for His glory. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, you will discern, you will bring this to prayer, you'll look in the show notes for this episode, you'll take an assessment or both of them, and to see where God is calling you, what He's awakening within you. And I guarantee you, it will bear supernatural fruit in your life. I promise you. I make the Holy Spirit promise that the Holy Spirit is going to show up in scary, cool ways in your life, in profoundly supernatural and abundant ways that you never thought possible, and you thought probably maybe even at times were just biblical fairy tales. It's going to happen for you, brothers and sisters. Take that next step. Be open to it. Come, Holy Spirit. That is the beauty of Pentecost. And Pentecost is being lived out every single day in the church, has been ever since, and you too can have your own personal Pentecost today if you choose. So come, Holy Spirit. That is all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless you.